Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives. Welcome back to Empire Building. This is Seychelle Van Poole, and I am here with my amazing co-hosts, Kimber and Tiffany. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so good, and I am so excited about what we're going to cover today, because before we started recording, the three of us were having a conversation around something that we see when women come into Her Best Life and into Empire Circle. This is one of the biggest things we work on first with them. And that topic is around the word permission and redefining what success looks like for female entrepreneurs. And it's kind of like the word permission. Tiffany and Kimber and I were talking about it. Like, when we say that word, what do you think of when you hear that? Because it's kind of a heated word.
Yeah. As somebody who's fiercely independent, that like I definitely like reacted to it because I was like, permission. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't need like a bunch of women to give me permission to like, kind of like live my life. And yet it's almost like the releasing of guilt, the release of this idea that we're supposed to like do it all, know it all, be it all, juggle all the balls, be the perfect person at home and the perfect partner and also run the great business. And so it's actually like it's like you're actually peeling back the curtain and the secret's out that you actually don't have to do it all. Like, you have to define the life that you want for you and then walk into that journey. And I think there's something about that power in owning what you want.
So when you say what first comes to mind, like a permission slip to leave to go to the bathroom
yeah.
at school, like
yeah.
that, or a permission slip to miss school. And that's what comes to mind first with that word. And that is an authority, like it's a submitting to authority or needing to have something in order to, from authority to do something and take an action. And as entrepreneurs, that is very abrasive to us. Like, no, I don't need permission. I'm just going to go do it. But the reality is we have put our lives under the authority of expectations that are placed on us. And if you can't acknowledge that authority even exists, then you're never going to make a different choice. And often we do need to hear from other people that expectation that we're feeling isn't real. Like, the expectation authority that you didn't even realize where it came from and why you feel bad, you do need to know that is an authority and it isn't real. And that's the permission. You don't need the permission from the authority. You just need the permission from other people to stop letting those expectations weigh you down.
Permission from the expectation. Wow, that's fantastic. And you know, it's interesting. I did a little research on this as to why we feel this way. And it is because after World War II, you know, women went into the workforce in droves when World War II was going on. Then a lot of women actually returned back into the household. And it wasn't until the 60s and 70s when women societally in masses decided they really wanted to enter the workforce and have that independence. And what happened is nobody sat down and had a conversation around like, well, who's going to do the housework and who's going to take care of the kids and who's going to do the drop off and who's going to do the PTA and who's going to do the birthday parties. They just said to women, great, as long as the house is handled, you can do whatever you want in the workplace. And so what women did, as to Tiffany's point, expectations societally, was we said, that's fine, because we want the opportunity so bad, we're going to do all the household stuff and we're going to go to work. And then all of a sudden we became leaders and entrepreneurs and wealth builders and empire builders and all these other things, while never shedding the expectation that other people can and should be helping with these things. And so it makes perfect sense that if you're feeling this way, that it's completely normal. And you are also so in good company. All three of us have had to work through this. This is one of the biggest lifts that I received from us joining our kind of friendship circle in the way that we did, and what we gift to other Empire Circle members when they come in, is this exact thing. So if you take a look at this, really permission to me is the second piece, because what you're feeling when you can't do all of this, especially as your business is growing and maybe you have young kids at home, or maybe you're, you know, remodeling a house or whatever it is that you're juggling, the likelihood that that feeling starts out where you feel like you need permission is from guilt and shame that you can't do it all. And that is where that expectation is. And so, like, I would love to hear from some of you guys, like, where have you felt that in your life? Where were you in that journey? Because I think that there's a lot of guilt and shame that we feel as female entrepreneurs that we are not nailing it in every area of our life. And there's an expectation that we should do that.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful questions that someone asked me, because you are feeling like, well, I have to do these things, like, right? I have to do them. And she said, who said that? Who told you that? Who said you have to do them? And it was like a stop in my tracks, because she was like, well, was there like a moment? Like, who were you going to disappoint? Who said you had to do them? And who said you had to do them that way? And I mean, Tiffany, you changed my world in our circle when you just said, hey, you know, your kids don't really care who cooked the dinner. They care that you ate it with them. And so I was like, oh my God, I gotta like run everything at the office, and I gotta get home, and I gotta figure out dinner, and I gotta get it fed. And it was like, huh. Like, I could actually, sometimes we talk a lot about leverage in our business, but for a lot of us, the first place that we get leverage is at home, so that, like, right, we can release. And there might be guilt that you have somebody coming into your house and helping with laundry or helping meal prep for you. But that then allows you to be way more intentional. And if you love cooking, like, say, is embraced, awesome.
I've been a new season. It's a new season, though.
You're in a new season. Yeah, but you love it. It's bringing you joy.
It is bringing me joy. But I will admit, I had a 5-year season of complete overwhelm and handling all the shoulding on myself of doing all the stuff for my parents, that I didn't have the energy or the bandwidth or the desire to cook. Like, dinner came every night, and I was like, why? Again?
I know.
Why are you eating again? I can't handle this. And so I did have help with meal prep and planning, because I was in a season that I had guilt and shame around the fact that I do enjoy cooking, and I wasn't enjoying it, and it wasn't bringing me energy, and my family still needed to eat anyways. And so I needed to find leverage. I now am a year and a half into a season that I have the energy and bandwidth, and it brings me joy, but it's a choice. And I chose to bring it back because I had freed up some energy from other things to be able to take that back on. And that felt really good, that it was a choice. It didn't feel like an expectation. And that felt great. And I wouldn't have had that without our circle.
I remember I don't remember exactly when, but I was in my laundry room, like, doing the laundry. It was late, and each of the boys kept coming in and, like, asking me to do something with them. And I remember, like, snapping at them, like, I have got to get this done. Like, you've got to leave me alone so that I can get this done. And as I was folding the towels, I'm like, that is horrific. Like, horrible that, like, I'm snapping at my kids at 10 o'clock. I mean, I don't know what time it was. It was late at night. Maybe it was 7, because they were little at that point. And all they want is me. And why am I having to be the one that does the laundry just because I feel like I have to, like, because I should? And that was the turning point for me, when I was like, okay, I can be so uncomfortable getting help so that I don't tell my kids to leave me alone so I can do the laundry when they haven't seen me all day because I've been working. You know, like, that was that moment in time where the guilt of what I
was giving up
was to my kids,
mm-hmm,
was worse than the guilt of not doing the laundry anymore.
And you started for yourself, I love this, you are modeling how you started defining for yourself what you actually want success to look like. And I think that when we allow the expectation of whatever this to, you know, Kimber's point, who told you had to do this, right? When we allow society's expectation that we think that we have to carry around with guilt and shame, it keeps us from defining what success really looks like and how we want to show up. And that's where the magic happens, is when we start defining that. A friend of mine was talking with me about her executive MBA experience, and it really got me thinking. You know, it's a big investment, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and you're gambling on who you'll meet, who your professors are going to be, and what you're actually going to get out of it. Our conversation reminded me of why we created Empire Circle at Her Best Life. We flipped the script and created something really special for our experiential learners like me. While academia is absolutely important to our community as a whole, it doesn't always equate to what we need while we are building the big business in real time. With Empire Circle, you'll learn from women who've actually built the big businesses and who are still in the arena doing it. You don't have to step away. Our retreats take you to exotic locations instead of classrooms where you'll grow your revenue, hone your strategy, find your community, and expand your big, beautiful life all in real time. Why step out of your business when you can step into Empire Circle? Apply for Empire Circle now at herbestlife.com.
Because success could be crushing it at work and having a ton of help at home.
Yes.
And like,
yes,
a nanny that is picking up the kids and doing all the things. And that is great. Like, yes, have that. And it also could be, one of the things when I was young is I didn't work from 2 to 4 after my kids got up from their nap. And then I would go back to work. But to me, that was success. If I could crush my morning, be with my kids, and then get all my work done, like that was winning. And so my winning and your winning and Kimber's success, like none of that has to look the same for you to have permission to that be winning for you.
Well, I think that's when we talk about big business, big life, that this idea that it doesn't have to be always the choice of like, well, I have to have one or the other. I can't have them both and I can't coexist, right? So what does that mean for you? Which I think is that first step. Like, what would success in this season look like, right? How would you feel like I got up and I won the day, I won the week, and both professionally and personally? And then building that in, because that's likely going to be the no's to allow you to really say, hey, I'm going to make sure that this happens. I'm going to make sure that I am not, like, the laundry still has to get done, right, for most of us. Like, it still has to happen. I got 4 boys, still got to happen. But it's just also our hours. We all get the same amount of hours in the day. And so how do we think about where you want the hours and the time to be spent? Because I hear often with my boys played back to me that they're seeing me better than they can hear me. So when I'm saying this is how, like, we should be doing this, we should be, but that I'm living not in alignment with that, like, as teenagers, like they're playing that back for me constantly. And how do we make sure that what is it that we want to have? Where do we want the magic moments of our life to show up in? And then be intentional about what are we going to have to clear to have those spaces? And it could be the simple stuff, right? It is the simple. And in the crazy seasons, getting into alignment of how you could dominate with that.
That's so, so, so good, right? I can see you louder than I can hear you. That's so good. I also think as female entrepreneurs, something that I am really working hard to model for Quinn is how to ask for help. And I think we often put on our shoulders the expectation of I have to be the one that does this, or this is my responsibility to figure out how it gets taken care of. And I don't know, maybe it's like in my 40s, my hormones are changing and I just give fewer cares. But an example, I hate making lunches so much. It is like a burning passion that I hate. And so when we have summer camp in the summer and you have to still make lunch, I'm like, come on, this is my summer too. And we had a moment where I was just really tired and we'd had a bunch of like the family over late that night. And I had a joy making dinner for 17 people. It was a joy, but I had to make lunch. So I prepped it the morning or that night and I put it up because I didn't want to do it in the morning. And Nick was being so kind and thought that he was helping me out by cleaning out the lunchbox. And I came in the next morning and I saw it was all empty and I was like, ugh. And it was a me problem because I just wasn't asking for help. I put it all on myself. It's a small, stupid little thing, but it's a symptom of a bigger problem that I had, which was I wasn't asking for help. And as soon as I was just transparent and said, you were so kind because I know you were actually being proactive and trying to help me. This was nothing that you were doing to me. That really was frustrating for me. And Quinn and Nick, can you guys help me with this? Because this is not a joyful thing, but it has to get done. How can we all do it together? And now we're doing it all together and Quinn puts out our snacks and, you know, like now we're dividing and conquering and I don't have to hate lunches anymore. And it's way better.
Yeah. Well, that's like the next thing that we'll talk about is modeling from others and learning from other people's experiences. Because I was raised with a stay-at-home mom. I never made my lunch ever. Like, my lunch was made for me all through, I mean, to high school.
Same girl.
My mother still made a lunch for me. Shout out to Pam Felton. Awesome job. But that was, you know, she was crushing it at her work.
Yes.
That was her work. And so in my mind, this was a thing that moms did. They made the lunches. And I had a friend who was just a little bit ahead of me in business, one of the only female entrepreneurs that I knew at the time, before I knew you ladies. And she asked me the question, why do you need to make the lunches? Because I hate lunch too. I don't know why lunch is so hard, but I hate it. And she was like, why do you have to? And I thought, why do I have to? And when my kids were in kindergarten and first grade, I taught them how to make their lunches. And since then, my children have made their lunches. And I don't think they're damaged because of it. I mean, we'll find out later when they go to therapy. But, you know, like, they were having to learn responsibility. So, like, me feeling like I had to make the lunches meant I never really, gave them permission to think about it or figure it out on their own. And so, and they would complain about their lunches. And then I'm like, oh, we're having none of this. None of this. You can make it. And then you can complain about it. And then you have no one to complain to but yourself. And these kids became responsible.
Yeah.
And would ask for groceries. In second grade, they'd be like, Mom, can you get me this? Or Mom, I'm out of peanut butter. I'm out of ham. Or I'm out of whatever I need. And just simply by me not doing it, it allowed them to rise. But I would never have done that had another mom in my shoes not said, why can't your kids make their lunch? And I thought, well, because nobody in first grade makes their lunch. And then I've lived my whole life like, just because no other first graders have done it or no other second graders have done it doesn't mean my kids can't do it. And we'll figure out where that line is for them helping as well. And they feel awesome when they help.
I love that.
I love it.
You know, a favorite modeling question that we ask each other all the time when we do our retreats that I love is we'll ask each other the question of, what are you saying no to? And it's one of my favorite questions when it comes to letting go of things, because oftentimes you guys have said things at our retreats that I'm like, oh, I can say no to that? That wasn't even on my radar as something I could say no to, or something that I'd even thought of that I could get rid of or shed as an expectation. And so I love, like, when I'm talking to other leaders, that's a question I love to ask, because oftentimes I'm going to learn about a boundary they're setting that's freeing them up, or a responsibility they're shedding, or something that's leveling up for them that I didn't even know was a possibility. So if you haven't used that question in your conversations, it's one of my favorites. With people I respect, don't ask people you don't respect that question, because you're going to get answers you don't want to know. But with people you love and respect, it's a really fun one.
I love it as a curiosity question. You know, like, what have you said no to that you didn't think you could ever say no to?
Yes.
Because then it's going to open up all these things that we've never considered.
Yes.
Saying no to.
I love it. And I feel like this statement of, like, that which is deeply personal is universal, because I'm 100% in the lunch camp. And I'm like, it is literally like the release I have in, like, at the end of the school year. But I would Cam's getting ready to be a kindergartner. And like that idea, and he loves it. Like, he loves that he can like pick out like his snacks. I do the main thing, but it's like, it also activates them. We've been using like the chore list. And like, so people think, my kids are too young. Can they participate? Like, yeah, they can. Even if they're not ready to do the whole thing by themselves, like, where are the little pieces that you can actually start to engage them around? And then I think also like shifting, maybe not around lunches, but I found that like, I went from having all my kids be able to walk to school. And then, you know, 2 years ago, we entered the crazy world of a commute, like, which I luckily had 5 magical years of everybody like just getting out of the house and schools being blocks away. And I was like dreading it. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst. I'm going to have to sit in traffic. And I literally like shifted the orientation to like, I get this time in the car with my boys. And this is the first year Braxton's driving himself to school. And I am so glad that like I took something that was like a should. It had to get done. Like, they had to get to school. We don't have a busing system. I'm in the middle of the city. But I was like, you know what? So we had rules, like, right? There's no phones. We're not going to have phones in the car. And we're going to have a conversation. We would listen to like motivational podcasts, Eric Tom. Like, we just really made it. And it became such a magical time that I feel like now that I'm not missing, not sitting in traffic for, you know, I'd get to the office at 8:45 and people like, hey, I'd be like, I've been driving for an hour and 20 minutes. Give me a few minutes. But it was like just sometimes our orientation to the work and the thing that we have to do, because like we've all got kids who are moving on to this like middle school and above seasons. And so what we get to say, it goes so fast, it goes so fast. But I do think, how can you find, like, even in that should, even in that season, whether that's because you do it together as a family, whether because you like gamify it, whether because you just sort of say, you know what, I'm going to embrace that this is the 2 years I'm going to be in a miserable commute, but I'm going to get this magical time with my boys. And that's going to be special. Because I think a lot of it's also like, how are we orienting around the hard? Because it could be, the hard's heavy, but it also could be healing. It could heal you in that next chapter of your journey.
And I think this is why Empire Circle is so important for us, and our circle is so important, is hearing you say that gives somebody else permission who's in a hard that they can't say no to something that really is driving them crazy or that is hard for them. It allows them to reframe in their brain and gives them permission to reframe it to find joy in that moment. And, you know, teenagers talk the most when they're looking straight ahead, not directly at you. And so, like, I know when, like, phones are down in the car with Quinn, that's, and, like, and I'm taking her to a practice or something, that's when she talks the most. And so being mindful and aware of that, right, has allowed you some of these amazing conversations and moments with your kids that probably never would have happened if you hadn't taken a pause and stepped back and said, how do I want this to show up? So I think it's awesome.
It's also a great way to force them to listen to podcasts that they probably wouldn't listen to,
yes,
when they're trapped in the car with you. So.
I love that.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. I love that.
Which brings us to our last thing, which is a circle of support. If you've heard through all of this, it's when you hear somebody else say something. It's when you hear somebody ask a question of you. It's when you hear a story that it unlocks these expectations for you, that you realize, oh, that isn't just the way it is. That's just the way I think about it. Or it doesn't have to be this way. And that's a big part of how our circle started and why we started Empire Circle, because that circle of support is what launches you beyond these lids that you have in your life and your leadership that you break through with other people.
Yeah. And I think as empire builders, right, a lot of times in our own communities, you walk to the playground and like, you're just not having the same level of conversation for the type of businesses that you're leading and driving forward and the responsibilities perhaps you have at home. And so I know for us, it meant getting on an airplane to get connected to the community of other like bad business, like entrepreneurs who are also incredible moms and incredible partners. And so I think for us, like Empire Circle, that demand of like, hey, I desperately need this. And I've been looking for it in my immediate area and it's not there. I can't find it, or I don't have the extra bandwidth to curate it. And that was why we were like, you know what? Like, more women around the country need this. And like, let's create a space where we can come together 4 times a year when we have meaningful coaching and consulting with one another monthly to really create the framework for that. It's another point of leverage, right? You could either create it yourself and be the facilitator of it, or you can invest in yourself and say, hey, I actually need this, and, you know, create an exponential return in your life and business.
I love that. And if you're listening to this today and this is resonating with you, we'd love to have a conversation with you about if Empire Circle is something that is worthwhile to be looking at. And we're happy to do that. And if you're listening to this and you're realizing for the first time maybe that you've never felt this way, but others in your world are, hopefully this gives you some perspective to know, you know, what entrepreneurs in your life might be experiencing. Or if you're feeling this, just know you're not alone. Sometimes it's just nice to know that there are other people out there experiencing the same thing you are. So if this resonates with you, please do us a favor. Share it with somebody in your life that may need to hear this. That's how we love to grow and why we love doing this. And most importantly, we want you to go out there, lead a big business and an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Have a great week.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.